Could have killed you.
Could.
Yeah. I could have put a sword through your heart. I found you sleeping in a cave today. You're my enemy. I may be your enemy, but you're not my enemy. I still love you, King. I still love you, King. But you know what that devil will do? He'll repent for just a little while. And then that thing, if the post of the door is not moved, then he gets right back up and does it again. That's right. You can be as nice to a spirit of evil as you can be, and they'll take it and try to kill you with it. And then if the preacher becomes firm and says, that's all, we're not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to allow you to rend this flock. I will not suffer this congregation to be torn asunder. Now you don't come back here. They say, see there how what kind of a spirit he's got. I'm showing you what rebellion will do to you. There's no way responsible authority can help rebellion. It's got to go. It can't be healed. You can't heal a devil spirit. It's got to go. It will resist the Holy Ghost until it grieves the Holy Ghost. And then it'll grieve the Holy Ghost till it quenches the Holy Ghost. And then it'll take on a reprobate spirit that hates the truth and turn around and say it's right when all of the church is wrong. That's what this is. And then it starts pronouncing judgment and doom against all the people of God. Wow, this little clique over here in this group is all right. I'm telling you what happened. Somebody didn't move at the Word of God. Somebody didn't pray. Somebody, that's where it all started. Somebody wouldn't hear the Word of God and be moved. Somebody in this church is not hearing right now. I want to be moved by the Word of God. Because if God's Word can't move me, nothing can move me. Nothing can move me. I'm going to die hard. I'm going to die bitter. I'm going to die with resistance unless the Word of God can move me. Oh, we should love the Word of God. We should love to be preached to. A church ought to just cry out in the Spirit, preach. Oh, preacher, preach. Oh, preacher, dig in my soul. Get in my garden and dig my roots. Oh, preacher, do something. Help me. A man caught me as I came out of the prayer room last night. The weight of his body sobbing and crying almost weighted me to the floor. And he sobbed out over my shoulder, preach to me, Brother Hanby, and save me. Preach to me and save me. This wasn't a sinner. This is an old patriarch of the gospel. Preach to me and save me. That's right. That's what Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. By preaching, you're going to save yourself and them that hear you. Hallelujah. Preach to me, preacher, and save me. He chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Twofold. Those sinners that will believe the gospel will be saved, and those saints who will believe the gospel will be delivered. The preaching of the gospel saves the church. And believing saves the sinner. And when a church stops its ears up and won't hear, who is it at the door of the heart that refuses to let the Word of God come in? Because the entrance of the Word of God brings light. It opens back the soul. It pulls back the ventricles. It tears back the aorta, so to speak. It pulls back all of the flesh and steps inside with a brilliant laser and shines on every immaturity and every discrepancy and every spiritual sin. It puts a light on you, as David said, search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's what the Word of God ought to do to us. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Nobody should be scared of the preacher. A church should never resist the preaching. A church should hunger after the Word of God. I've had too many saints come from too many places saying, we're starving, Brother Handy. We need to be fed. I've heard too many saints leave churches and come over here and sit on these pews and say, we're hungry, we're hungry. And then I've seen too many saints over here who've heard preaching and preaching and preaching and preaching, who take it all for granted and just take it like too much cake and ice cream. We need to get all right back to the foundation again. We have no past. We need to start loving the Word of God again until it moves.
posts of the door of the Lord until it moves the foundation of the threshold of my soul. Hallelujah. Preaching that'll put us on our knees. Preaching that'll put us on our faces. Preaching that can move us. I'm telling you, we're not moved enough by the Word of God. We wait for the preacher to get through and then decide whether we ought to pray. Preaching ought to do something to us. If it would do something to the church, it would do something to the sinner. The reason it can't get the sinner is because you can't expect a sinner to get up in the middle of a crowd and be more responsive than a saint that has known God for 40 years. You can't expect sinners to run to altars that saints never go to. You can't expect that the preacher that can't move his congregation to their knees could move a sinner to an altar. It's a fault in the Word of God. What I have to ask God while I'm praying is, oh God, is it that I am not consecrated? Do I not set forth the Word of God? Am I without inspiration? Do I not speak the truth? Or is it possible that the Word of God is coming to pass, that in the last days men's hearts are going to be so hard that we just can't hardly receive the Word of God? Iniquity waxes worse and worse. There's going to come a famine in the land. Famine for what? For preaching? No. A famine for hearing the Word of God. The famine's not in the preaching. The famine is in the hearing. We've got too many hearts guarded by rebellion, by resistance, by jealousy, by fear, by unbelief, by criticism. Stand up and look at your heart. Come on, walk down to the gate of your heart. Take a look at it. You know who's standing there? Criticism. He takes it upon himself to take every word that the preacher preaches, everything that comes from the Holy Bible. He takes it upon himself to filter it out and decide whether or not he ought to let it go in. Who ought to put him up to guard your heart? When you were born again, God gave you the one that was supposed to stand at the door of your soul and say yes or no, and it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God, the only spirit that should be in the soul of man. That spirit should say that. You shouldn't see that. You shouldn't say that. If we had the Holy Ghost ruling our hearts, then the peace of God would rule our hearts. If we had the Holy Ghost ruling our hearts, there wouldn't be any problems with the things of the world. While the preachers are busy trying to root out one thing after another, we preach about jewelry and TV and all kinds of things. The preacher wouldn't have to preach about so many things because it wouldn't be a matter of legislation and shouldn't be. The gospel shouldn't be a matter of trying to dig things out. We ought to get Christ at the headship of the heart. And if we ever did that, you wouldn't want to live in sin. You wouldn't want to see evil. You wouldn't want to live like the devil. What I want to know is how it is that people can get away on vacation, and as long as they're out of sight of the saints, they can do anything they want to. But when they come back with the saints, oh. What is that? That's total hypocrisy. Christ is not in your heart. That's not God ruling your soul. You've got something else the matter with you. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe that if we ever get a hold of the real thing, if we ever get the Lordship of Christ in our spirits, if He ever comes totally to rule, the Spirit of God becomes the total, absolute monarch of our lives. I don't believe that any rebellion can stay at the door because the Holy Ghost will say, uh-uh, you get out of here. A little jealousy slips in, say, I wish I was a preacher. I tell you what, get out of here. Somebody comes and says, I just don't think the people in this church love me. Get out of here. The Holy Ghost will kick those things out as quick as they come in. Somebody's been talking about me. I don't think that. Get out of here. So, well, that brother, he don't look at me. Well, get out of here. Say, yes, but I'll tell you what. So I've been there a long time, and I've been doing good, and then nobody come around to tell me, get out of here. The Holy Ghost will rid you of all of that stuff if you'll let it. But you've got to let the Holy Ghost lead you and guide you. That's what the Bible talks about by being led of the Spirit. The Bible said if you're led of the Spirit of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Woo! Hallelujah. Let not lust rule in your mortal body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, are of the world and are not of the Father. Hallelujah. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What am I going to do? How can I make it in a world of sin and ungodliness? No problem. How can I make it at school? No sweat. What in the world am I going to do on the job? You haven't got any trouble at all, as long as you've got him high and lifted up and his train fills the temple. You haven't got anything to worry about. You say, they're going to make fun of me. Get out. They're going to say I'm a horror. Get out of here. The Holy Ghost will march up there and say, come on, let me and you walk together through these halls. Hallelujah. Come on, let me and you walk together. Say, I can't witness to that man. Well, that man's my boss. Come on, let me and you go witness to the boss. The Holy Ghost is your companion. Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He said, I'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Glory to God. Woo! He said, he shall be like a tree planted by the river that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. I believe we're unfruitful because the seed never gets in the heart. Rebellion takes it away. Criticism takes it away. Lust takes it away. The reason we don't have a harvest is because the seed never got in the soil. You say, I've been hearing preaching for 40 years and never won a soul. That's because the word never got in your heart. Something always guarded the post of the door and kept it out. It's time for somebody to say holy. I say it's time for somebody to say holy. 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 It's the Lord God of hosts. And I'm going to tell you, the door's going to move. Say, who's going to keep my door? I tell you what David said. He said, Lord, I cry unto thee. Give ear unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Let my hands be raised before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my praise be set before thee as incense, my praise, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Come on, get your sentry, Lord. Come get your soldiers, Lord. You come stand guard in front of my heart, Lord. You're the king, you get your soldiers. Does a king go hire strange and alien soldiers to fight his battles? Does a warrior ever come into the service of a king whom he does not respect or love? Would a king come to the throne and then go out to get emissaries of another nation that is an enemy nation and set them up at the throne door and say, you guard my door? Never. The king gets his own soldiers, men that are loyal. God is going to get his own spirit. We need the spirit of the Lord to set itself before the door of our hearts. If that ever took place, and we ever thoroughly ridded ourselves of spiritual resistance, then it wouldn't be hard for us to worship. Wouldn't be hard for us to shout. Wouldn't be hard for us to be corrected. Wouldn't be hard for us to be told. Wouldn't be hard for us at all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If he ever got high and lifted up. Too many of us got him in a low place. Need to put him in a high place. Too many of us got him on the steps. He needs to be on the throne. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy. Holy is the Lord. A total self-denial will not cause you to worry about yourself, but it will make you, first of all, very intent about the work of God and the kingdom of God in the earth. I want to ask you tonight, if the Lord is on your throne and his train fills your temple, and if the guard before your door is the Spirit-led life, the Holy Ghost, your spiritual conscience. If that's true, then I want to ask you, how long is our life? Didn't the apostles say in the prophets, it is but a vapor. Just a vapor. 70 years, if by reason of strength, we may just get a little added to us, but What is the snow on the roof here? And what is it that dims the vision at 60? Isn't it true that we're not going to live forever? And isn't it right that you can't remember anybody who lived past 120? Isn't it amazing that all our kinfolks and grandpas and grandmas are passing away? And we are going to do the same thing. And isn't it true that men come down to dusty graves and ask, why was I born? Why did I live? And why must I die? Isn't it true that the answer to life's deepest questions is not found in psychology? Amen? Not found in literature. Not found in philosophy. But only in the Word of God. And isn't it the greatest prize for life itself that Jesus Christ would not offer us gold or silver or houses or land or fine things? But he said, in this life, I'm going to let you live it to its fullest, 100%. And in the life to come, eternal life. The greatest gift that a living soul could have is to live forever. Men through all generations have sought for fountains that flowed with waters that could make them live forever. Men sailed their boats around the world to find such springs. And we found it. A well of water in our soul. Everybody's got his fountain of youth right down here. It will be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what it's all about. The Creator understands us, knows us, and knows what we love most. Men would give their millions away for another day of life. Men would give their fortunes away to see their babies brought back from the abductors. Isn't that so? I heard a man weep one time who was a wealthy man at his wife's dying bedside. And he said, I would give all of my wealth if I knew that Mama could live one more year. I would give all of my wealth, and it would have been hundreds of thousands of dollars. He said, I would start over again and callous my hands. I listened to him as he wept over that poor dying woman who passed away within minutes of his speech. He cried, oh, I would give it all and go back and be a laboring man and start over as a carpenter and would work my way into the building world again and would carry heavy boards. He wept, I would handle saws and drive nails all day as I did as a young man if I could just give Mama 1 year. And while he was making his speech, she passed away. I want to tell you that not one thing a man or a woman can do in this world can give him an extra day. The doctors do their best and still men die. But the doctors bury their mistakes. And saints die too, you know. They do and pass away, and all of us. Someday my father's going to die, and it's going to break my heart. And someday I'm going to die and break my boy's heart. And that's just the way life goes and goes. And there's only one hope in all the world for all men. And that is that he became the first fruits of them that slept. And the message of the resurrection is, because I live, ye shall live also. And I've come to preach to you that nothing, you should stand in the way of our receiving God's greatest gift. And if it means selling all, if it means giving all, if it means being poverty stricken, whatever it takes, denying anything, it's worth it all to be ready to see Him. I'm preaching tonight that just one moment in God's presence is going to be worth every sacrifice you ever made. One moment in God's presence is going to be worth it all. Ooh, listen to me, children. One moment in God's presence. 5 minutes after the rapture, you won't be sorry you made every sacrifice. You won't be sorry you came to church. You won't be sorry you testified. You won't be sorry you repented. You won't be sorry you obeyed. Just one moment. Woo! When I see him, it will be worth it all. Hallelujah. Let's all stand together, shall we? Glory to God. say I just could never forgive her. Oh, yes, you could. If you knew you were dying and give you back life, you'd do it. What if you knew you were spiritually dying and it'd give you back spiritual life to forgive? You could do it. It depends on whose garden you have. Hallelujah. Praise God. I feel like stopping. I've preached enough tonight. Praise God. I believe I could preach all night long. I'm not tired. I'm not weary. I'm not out of breath. Hallelujah. I feel good in my soul. Praise God. But I tell you what I do want to do before I stop here tonight. While you're standing on your feet. I was going to preach about this, but I don't have time tonight, so I'll do it later. But I am going to do it. And I want to be able to come back to this church always in this spirit. I want to be able to say to you, I'm going to preach to you tonight. And I want to be able to do it without resistance. Resistance is a horrible thing to the preached word. It's terrible for a preacher to battle spirits to try to get the word of God out. Did you ever stop and think that maybe the reason you don't have a harvest is because the seed never got to your heart? Why don't you throw wide the doors of your heart tonight? Remove every spirit that guards it. They're enemies of the cross. Get rid of them. Get rid of them. Jealousies, anger, strife, malicious talking, tale-bearing. Get rid of all of that. Be a Christian at home, at work. Listen, you know what it would do? It would bring boldness to us because we'd be honest. We wouldn't have to be hiding anything. We wouldn't be hiding behind anything. We are what we are. You wouldn't be ashamed. What have you got to say? Why wouldn't you speak to that woman? Why wouldn't you go and tell that man? You say, oh, I can't do that. Sure you can. If you haven't got anything to save, he that will save his life will lose it. But he that will lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. So why don't you lose your life? Come on, lose your life in worship. Lose your life in prayer. There are two things I must preach to this church. One is total commitment brings total direction. Total commitment commits you to one thing. This one thing I do. I haven't got time to preach it tonight. And then it makes you faithful in all things. I told you I was going to preach before I took up the offering. But now, I'd rather we'd come pray tonight, but I'm going to take up the offering tonight. I put it here on the altar, and we can come to pray and seek the Lord. But I don't want you to go home tonight now like we have the last few times. Let's see, we may just rejoice a while first. But we'll receive the offering then. I think it's only five. Is this clock right? Is it 9:05? I can hardly believe this. Hallelujah. Before we take up this offering tonight, would you let me say this much? We try so hard to make everybody be welcome, feel at home, you know? And there are people here who have so little. But you know what I've learned? I've learned that the people who have little give the most. And that shocked me, but in my years of pastoring, I've learned that that's true. The folks that have a little something give less than the folks who don't have. That's because riches are deceitful. I've got people in here that hardly have enough money to take care of themselves, just work hard with their hands every day. And they'll make a pledge and pay on it month after month after month until I almost feel embarrassed to take it from them. Oh, I feel bad. Someone else can come by, got something, just drop $50 on you and say, praise God. And you say, thank you so much. God bless you. They walk on. Forget about it. Someone else is wondering every month, how can I do this? How can I do this? Missionary pledges. Some people are so faithful. They're just going to meet every one of them, every one of them. Other folks just take it for granted. That's one thing we should never do. We should do what we say we are going to do. We should make a commitment to God and keep it. If it killed every cow in Texas, we ought to keep it. Because if we don't seek the kingdom of God first, I had brethren who came to me here this past week and gave me money. They said, Brother Hamby, this is money. I said, well, I don't even remember the pledge. No, well, I made it. They never forgot it. It was in their heart. They never forgot it. Now, that's conscientiousness. God honors that. Said, the Lord's blessed me and helped me, and I finally got this. Well, thank God for that. Thank God for that. You understand what I'm talking about? We took up four offerings here while the Denny family was here. I don't know if we had this many people. This is a crowd, isn't this a crowd? took up four offerings for evangelistic services that totaled a little bit less than $800 for four offerings. Now, you look around at this crowd. See, it cost a lot more money than that just to pay their expenses here. You say, $800 for four nights? No, wait a minute. We have three families of people. They drove hundreds of miles to get here. They don't have retirements and houses and lands. They travel. They got to pay gasoline expenses. It costs a lot of money for them to get here and back. And then we're not just going to pay their expenses. We're going to give them a gift of love. You understand what I mean? How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Well, see, all it would have taken is for every one of us just to give a dollar each time we come to church. You say, that'd be $4 a week. You spend more than that on bubble gum. We spend more than that going down to the Pizza Hut. What we did was, we couldn't give an offering, but we can go down and eat at the church. I'm talking about inconsistency. Now, we don't want anybody not to come to church because you don't have anything. This is not a place for the rich to come. But I think we need to be more... Now, don't resist me. I preached about it all night. This church could take up one offering tonight, and nobody hurt themselves at all. And just plan, when I come to church on Thursday night, I'm going to give an offering, going to give a dollar. You say, well, me and my wife both, it won't hurt Mama to give a little of her grocery money. This is the work of God. This is God's work. You can't go down and get a malt without spending 50 cents apiece. Yeah? That's a dollar for two of you, and you take the three kids, and that's $2.50. Let's all say $2.50. Just to run by the Dairy Queen. Well, how about when you just run by the dinner table here and God feeds you till it's running out your ears? That's not worth as much as a milkshake to you? Come on now. Would you be fair with me? What about these children? Should they ever come to church without an offering? Never. We ought to teach them at home. They ought to have an offering in their hand to give. And everybody in the church ought to give. We're not trying to get $10 out of everybody. We're not bankrupt. We're not trying to do something. But I'm telling you that, Brother Moore, it's a shame for us to struggle. Where's Brother Moore? It's a shame for us to struggle to try and pay light bills and other things that could just so easily be taken care of if everybody was faithful. Now, I haven't preached this in a long time. I think I'll take a whole night and do it one of these nights. Would that be all right? I'm going to preach on tithe and offering. I need to. I need to badly. It's not right to take a Thursday night offering from a crowd like this and get $100. But we do it here. I want you to look around and say $100 out of this crowd of people. That's a shame. That's not right. That's not right. And the work of God hurts because we don't all surrender. See? So, and you say, well, I don't have a dollar. Now, if you don't have anything and you've done your very best and you've done your best to manage and budget, you're just as welcome as everybody else. You're as welcome as the daisies in May and the rain in April. Okay? How many of you understand that? But if you got a dollar in your pocket, give it to God and He'll multiply it back to you. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. You say, well, my husband's going for me, so I don't have to go. No, you pick one. You pick 50 cents or quarter out of your purse. You say, well, Mama gives for me. No, no, you get some of your own and you give. You can get money for everything else. You can get money for everything else. Say, Mom, I'll tell you what I got. I got to get some ribbons. What's wrong? That one's kind of faded. How much is it going to cost? Oh, it costs $1.25 to go get some ribbons. We don't think anything about it. Amen. Come time for the offering, you're getting more than ribbons. You're going to get crowns. You're going to get gold. Don't let that spirit run back up and get your door now. Don't let it run back up and get your door. Let's all say holy. 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 The Lord God of hosts. Hallelujah. This is God's work. It can be blessed. We can bless it. We ought to be able to give $1,000 right now. These offering pans ought to hold $1,000 on Thursday night without anybody being trained. I want to receive $1,000 tonight in this offering just by everybody just giving a little. Some of you boys got money in savings. Don't hang your thumbs on your pocket and stare at me. Come on, you got money. I know you got money. Every time you come to church, you need to give some of it. All right? Everybody still happy? God's been good to us, you know that? Do you know you'll never miss that dollar? I'm telling you, you'll never miss that dollar. Because you're giving it to God. We give us under the Lord. How many of you are agreeing with me tonight? See how the response changes. Let's come in Jesus' name, shall we? You ought to come. You know, you ought to bring your money cheerfully and say, thank God. I'm thankful I've got something I can give. I want to thank the Lord.
There's no telling what God can do if you believe. Oh, there's no telling what God can do if you believe.
Another day sometime when we have to go right back through this again, because we'll have to be honest enough to reevaluate ourselves.
Yeah.
But I do intend in the next few days to enjoy the blessing of the Lord. Brother Sam, this dear lady wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. That's Sam the Baptist right there, Sister Norris. Where's Sister Nora? Sister Nora, she's coming to help you. She's coming right around this way, Sister Nora. We're singing, "There is no telling what God can do." You believe? Thank God. This lady said that God had spoken to her. She found consolation here. She believed the word of God. That she'd been in a church, but the preacher didn't preach the truth to her. She said she heard the truth tonight. She wants to be baptized in Jesus' name. Thank God.